and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kala Precision Engineering Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Kala Precision Engineering Limited. On behalf of the company and Valorem Advisors, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter and first half of financial year ending 2026. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is solely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. Firstly, we have with us Mr. Kirit Gala, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Balkishan Jalan, Whole-Time Director, Mr. Satish Kotwani, Whole-Time Director, and Mr. Srinivas Giridhar, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Kirit Gala to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Very good morning to all of you. This is the earning call for Q2 and H1 for financial year 26. And in the interest of some of the people who are new to the company, let me first give the brief overview of our organization. Kala Precision is a preferred manufacturer of high-quality precision components. We serve various sectors, mainly renewable energy, industrial, and mobility. And geographically, we are focused on three areas, India, of course, Europe, and USA. We supply to OEM, Tier 1, and channel partners. We manufacture around 750 SKUs to serve around 175 active global customers across 25 countries. And of course, our capabilities are, you know, in advanced technologies and integrated capabilities for designing, developing, and manufacturing this product portfolio. To further strengthen our manufacturing footprint and expand the product range, we have established a new facility in Chennai. This plant will focus on producing various high-tensile fasteners, including bolts. These are mainly complementing the existing products. During the quarter, our operations continued to progress strongly across business segments. The fastener division delivered the strongest results, with revenue for the first half 26 standing at 44 crore, registering 84% year-on-year increase. The disc spring segment maintained healthy momentum, but the order booking has been 30% higher on year-on-year basis. Also, we have a very strong pipeline of new product development across all the segments, with a focus on higher value components and export-oriented opportunities. The key development during this period was introduction of a new bolt and nut products, addressing a global market opportunity of more than $1 billion. We have already secured pilot orders for these products, and there is a strong validation of our design and engineering capabilities. At our Chennai factory, we are really happy that post-IPO, we really accelerated this implementation of the project, and we are happy to inform you that we started from 1 crore sales in August, now targeting 4 crore sales by September per month. This plant has been successfully audited and approved by more than 10 global customers. And trust me, most of the customers are really happy to see the modern technology and the, you know, the commitment of people. So this is a very interesting development, very, very promising in terms of future growth. Overall, we are pleased with the operational momentum and the steady progress with our strategic priority on innovation, customer diversification and capacity expansion. With this now, I hand over to CFO Mr. Giridhar, who will take you through the financial highlights of the period under review. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kirinpai. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the earnings call today. Let me provide a brief overview of the financial performance for the second quarter and first half of financial year 2022. For the quarter under review, consolidated revenue from operations stood at around 71 crores, reflecting a 40% year-on-year increase. EBITDA for the quarter was around 11 crores, up 17% year-on-year, with EBITDA margins of 15.01%. Net profit stood at 8 crores, representing a 59% year-on-year growth, with PAT margins at 11.76%. For the first half of financial year 2026, revenue from operations stood at 134 crores, reflecting a healthy 29% year-on-year growth. EBITDA for the period stood at 21 crores, up 3% year-on-year, with EBITDA margins at 15.46%. Net profit for the first half stood at 16 crores, registering a 30% year-on-year increase, with PAT margins improving to 11.08%. EBITDA margins during the period were partly impacted by change in production along with higher raw material labor costs, including job work and freight costs. Additionally, other expenses, including forward contract losses, also contributed to the impact. With this, we can now open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Sangha Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. A few questions. Sir, want to understand what is the customer concentration we have? You talked about 175 customers. So, what would be the top five customers would actually contribute to us? And the second question is that, in general, what is our repeat business? When I say repeat business, I am talking about revenue from the same set of customers who have been there for the last year. The third question I have is that I want to understand your tax rates. What is the rate one should actually assume? The next question is regarding cash flows. I see that your post-operating cash flows, operating cash flows pre-tax is kind of muted because inventories are high. So just want to understand how to read about it. These are my questions, sir.
Sure.
Hello, Satish.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, Satish.
Yeah. So I will answer first two questions. Top five customers contribute about 30 to 35% of sales, and top 10 customers contribute around 50% of the sales. Every year, normally our sales is driven by repeat business, or which is we call existing customer, existing parts business. Second category is new parts from the existing customer, and third is totally new customers. So normally, depending on the year or quarter, we have about 80 to 82% coming from existing customer, existing parts, which broadly we can say is a regular repeat business. About 10% business is coming from new items which are supplied to existing customers, and approximately 8 to 10% of business is coming from new customers, mainly for our springs and partners category. So this is broad classification of customers and repeat business. For tax, I think Giri can answer.
I can answer. I'm Jalan here. Tax rate, we are in the new regime of income tax, and as per new regime, the 25% tax rate is applicable. But nevertheless, whatever legitimate tax planning we can do, we try to bring this tax 25% by 2-3 basis points. So this again depends upon year to year what type of tax plan we can achieve.
So you can safely assume something between 22-25% or 22.5% for paper side. As far as the cash flow is concerned, you are right. The cash flow, operation cash flow is under pressure. And the major reasons are two. One is historical also, if you see, then historical also inventory used to be 120 days because quarter on quarter or year on year when we are growing and we are adding more and more product. So because of new product development, because of the growth, we have to keep inventory for the coming year. The second, the other reason which in earlier call also I explained, we are having a multiple SKUs. One side, we have to sometimes import material, and there are certain items where we have a suppose less tonnage. Then there are mill, steel mill, they need some minimum order quantity. So we have to place order in particular quantity or tonnage only. So there are various historical reasons. So if you see, so my inventory used to be 120 days. And now, at present, in September, the inventory is 129 days. If you go in deeper, then is this inventory of September 25, this inventory include the this Chennai plant inventory, which is almost 5 crore plus. And if you remove this inventory, the number of days is 123 days, which are again in line with the historical number. Chennai inventory I want to remove for time because we builded this inventory for the customer audit, for the customer approval, for developments and all. And so we started ramp up of the Chennai plant, but still we not started a big way sale. So just for information, in till September 25, in 4 months, we ramp up from the 1 crore, 2 crore, 3 crore, something like that. But the sale started in September, which we just achieved 82 lakh rupees of sales. So that inventory we are building up in Chennai so that we can ramp up operation and we can deliver higher numbers in the coming months and quarters. As far as the data is concerned, you can see the data stability is there. Earlier, in fact, used to be 108 days in March 25, but June is 85. Then September, last September, 87, and this September is 85. So we are in the similar range. So inventory is high, particularly if you see from historical numbers. That's the reason I gave you about the Chennai inventory.
Got it. Good. So then the other thing, you know, in terms of renewable energy, there has been some pressure, which I understand, that is building up with respect to all the wind energy manufacturers, I mean equipment manufacturers based in India. Do you actually see that, and how to think about this, because we have our own good composition from renewable. Is it true? And if so, what is the contingency plan we have?
You're talking about the top line revenue growth, or you're talking about margin?
No, I'm talking about top line itself, because I'm told that Gamesa, for example, is actually having some kind of problem, and a few others. So in that context, want to understand,
okay,
since we actually have 35% exposure.
Okay, Lakshmanji. So I got it. I have this answer, but I think Satish can be in a better position to give you more detailed understanding about your exposure to renewable. Yeah, Satish.
Yeah. So basically, I would like to correct here. If you see really the data and real situation in the market, I think India market is the fastest growing market for the renewable, particularly wind industry. So just to give you an idea, in H1, which is April to September period, the wind installation capacity has grown by 50%, 50% in India. And today, if you talk to any good OEM who is manufacturing wind turbines like Suzlon in India, say Envion, Inox, Envision, they are really having good order flow. For at least next 2 to 3 years, they have the visibility of orders from existing customers or their new customers. So I would like to differ. The segment market is having challenge. Yeah, Siemens Gamesa has been going through the challenge not only in India but globally because of some quality issues they faced in the Europe market, and that has impacted their overall business. But in fact, Siemens Gamesa India business is acquired by private equity, and now they are looking to expand the business aggressively in India. I think India story is really promising as far as the wind is concerned, at least for next 2 to 3 years. Recently, we participated in wind exhibition in Chennai, the participation has grown by 2.5 times as compared to last year wind turbine same exhibition in Chennai, which shows that India market is interesting and people are really keen to expand the businesses in India.
So my question is that while India is there, but in exports from India out on the wind, right? I thought there was some slowness, but anyway, nevertheless, that is one. The other one is that in terms of the products you manufacture, which are the products where you actually have your own design and what kind of products are actually, built to print?
Yeah, so it differs from product to product. So in fasteners, for example, which we offer mainly for wind industry or hydro, and now we also started offering for industrial and railway, these all products are made as per the print. So broadly, these products are called M20, M24, M72. That's a metric standard or in series. But each product has some specific requirement of thread rolling, machining, coating. So basically, all these products are made as per the print. In this spring family, we have products which are made customized as per the customer requirement, approximately 40% to 50%. And 50% of the products are made as per the DIN standard, which is a German standard, DIN 2093 for this spring. In wake lock washers, I think 80% of products are as per the standard series, again as per DIN 25201. As far as the coil springs, which is supplied to mainly mobility sector, railway, some portion in industrial and mainly automotive tier 1, 100% springs are made as per the customer print. So at company level, if you see, we will be about 20-25% making as per the standard, which is again German standard, and about 70-75% will be customized at the company level as per the print.
So then when you talk about precision, right, so you talked about you're a precision company. Can you just tell me what do you mean by that? Because any fasteners, any mechanical instrument, I always think it's a precision thing. Is there a specific reason why you call it?
Sorry to interrupt, but can you please rejoin the question queue?
Yeah, just one last question in terms of the precision. I just want to.
Yeah, Jalan can answer that question on precision. Yes.
Sure. So basically, in Jalan, in the three product group, disc spring, coil spring, and fastener, we have different precision engineering requirements. We start with the disc spring. In this spring, we have to blend where we need to have a tooling, and the tooling capability design, manufacturing tooling capabilities are in-house, and we have to manufacture this tool in 10 microns, 5 micron to 10 micron, depend upon the end product requirement. So there we have that type of sophisticated wire cut machining or machining capabilities and checking inspection capabilities. And with this help only we are able to develop the product called Gallop, where we are seeing good potential in coming year. So already this product got approved in with several customers and across the group.
So coil spring? Yes, sir. This is helpful. I'll join back in queue.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Nishita Shankleshwa from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. So in your opening remarks, you mentioned that from the Chennai facility, you are now expecting and targeting 4 crore sales from September per month. And you just mentioned to the previous participant that you've done 82 lakh sales only till now. So how are we going to ramp up from 82 lakhs to 4 crores per month? And is this 82 lakhs in a month or over the period of H1 or Q2?
Yeah, I'm Jalan. I will answer you in detail. There are two separate. One is that we have started ramp up of this manufacturing from July onward. So there was a. So we completed this plant in March, and we opened up this plant for audits. And more than 10 customers visited during March, April, May, June, July, and they started giving approval. Once they start giving approval, so we started manufacturing from July. So July we gave the load of 1 crore. And that started ramp up to 2 crore, 3 crore. And in October, we reached to a load of 4 crore, number one. So this is about the calling a more of manufacturing value load given to the plant. And as far as the sale is concerned, we started dispatching in September. So what happened as a part of the whole process, after that customer once again visits, see the actual product process and products, and after that they start giving clearance to dispatch. And initially they ask for a dispatch of very small quantities, we call into the PPAP lots, where the values are small, but the varieties are there. So we started dispatching in September, and September, August, very small value, but September there are more than 75 lakhs. That the first month we dispatched. And October, we already crossed something 3 crore. And so this will follow. Then manufacturing value, we are seeing already reached to a 4 crore. And in coming month, we are targeting to manufacturing value of 5 crore. And sale will start following 3 to 4 crore per month. So as of now, we are not seeing any difficulty in achieving what we say.
Okay, so again to clarify, you mentioned that in October sales we've already crossed 3 crores, right?
Yeah, yeah, ma'am.
And from next month we are going to manufacture 5 crores, and we are expecting from that the sales to happen of 3 to 4 crores.
Yeah, so just again for clarity, November we given load of 4 crore, and this we want to stabilize, and in January we are target to give manufacturing load of 5 crore.
Okay.
And phase one, our capacity which we planned and which we communicated was 60 crore. And as of now, we see ki we are almost through with that phase one capacity building up. And we will be demonstrating that in Jan 26.
Okay. So can you clarify that phase one capacity of 60 crore or capex of 60 crore?
Annual. Annual capacity of 60 crore. Phase one, annual capacity of 60 crore. Which means per month capacity of 5 crore, and which we will be doing a 5 crore per month manufacturing in Jan 26. That's our plan. And the sale will follow. So we have an order in pipeline. Then as we ramp up manufacturing, the sale will follow to that.
Okay, understood. Also, when are we going to start with the phase 2 capacity then in the Chennai plant?
Yeah, so as of now, we reviewed the overall pipeline and outlook, and as of now, we plan to start this in Q4 of FY26, or there can be a Q1 of FY27.
Okay, so we'll start the phase 2 capacity will start building in Q4, so when will it be operational?
Normally, now land and building is already there for phase 2, only, and we need to just order the machine and install, which take normally 3 months to 4 month time. So the time lag should not be more than 3-4 months to achieve the again the capacity what we build in phase 2.
Okay, understood. And my next question would be, you've previously given a guidance of 20-25% growth in FY26 and EBITDA margin of around 17-19%. Now in Q2, our margins have fallen to 15%. So do we still see that happening, the EBITDA margin of 17-19%?
Yeah, as of now, we still maintain, as we ramp up and we stabilize our capacity and we reach to a higher level of revenue, we should be again in the range of 17-19.
Okay, and revenue also will do 20-25% growth.
Yes, ma'am, very much. We are positively confident about these numbers.
Okay, and what was the reason?
Oh, ma'am, sorry to interrupt, but can you please rejoin the question queue?
Yes, sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Amar Ahir from Needham Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
I want to ask that can you give me a guidance over the margins for a period of 2-3 years?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jalan. As we mentioned earlier, we are saying EBITDA margin should be in, again reaching to 17-19 as we grow and reach to a revenue where we are. Utilizing the Chennai capacity to a certain level. So in between, the utilization of Chennai capacity is going to be lower, but otherwise we see 17-19 what we maintain should be there. And going forward also, similar type of margin we are anticipating or expecting.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Kunal Mehta from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Very good morning and congrats on the good set of numbers. So I have two questions. One is on the order book side. You have mentioned that there is good order booking in the district, but can you give a overall perspective on the order book of all the segments and, you know, how is the pipeline looking?
Okay. So I think in general, overall order position is positive and good in all the areas, which is mainly district, wild spring and partner. Normally, at any given time, we have the visibility of sales for next 3 months, which is depending on the customer forecast, schedule, and also positions they have given and firm orders we have. So, for example, as on 1st October, we have visibility and orders in hand for 75 crores, plus some more additional schedules are expected for this quarter, which normally come month on month for auto industry. So, I think in general, order position is good, and that's the reason we are targeting to grow 22 to 25%. And this is orders are aligning to that growth.
Okay, sir. And sir, other question is on the capex amount that is utilized. I think Vada capex is still pending, right? The capex of the Vada facility is still pending. By when do we see completion in that?
Yeah, hi, Jalan here. So yes, we have planned capex of 110 million. Out of that, we incurred 61 million. And remaining 49 million, we plan to complete this capex in next 6 to 9 months time. So basically, Vada, where we are, this incremental capex which we incur depend upon the bottleneck. Time to time, we are adding the presses or wire cut machine or coil machine like this.
Okay.
And so, for the Chennai, already I answered. Phase 1 already completed. So 370 million, out of which 198 million already deployed. And remaining 171 million, we plan to deploy in 6 to 9 months on the paper side to build this phase 2 capacity. Yeah?
Yeah, because sir, our capacity utilization is almost on the optimal level for most of the segments in the disc spring, the coil spring. So, how much capacity approximately are we planning to expand? Any numbers on that?
Yeah, so after completing this capex cycle at Vada, we should be around 325 to 350 crore, all product mix, disc spring, coil spring and fastener. As for Chennai is concerned, after completing the complete capex cycle, we will be going to have a capacity of 120 crore to 130 crore, depend upon product mix and each item volumes and all.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, sure. So, just to clarify, I think in the previous you already answered that question of mine. The capex which is ongoing, the existing infrastructure, plus the capex at Vada, where we have about a marginal amount pending, roughly about 6 crores, and roughly about 5 crores, and Chennai capex 17 crores, which will complete in 6-9 months. The total peak sales, which is possible with this infrastructure, would be Vada would be 325, 350, and Chennai would be 125. Is that
perfect?
Understanding correct?
Yes, yes, absolutely right.
And sir, in what time frame you can typically ramp up this capacity to optimum utilization?
Yeah, I just will correct one thing. I mentioned this figure as a capacity, but normally in engineering company, subject to product mix, there can be some change. But more important, we normally consider 80-85% as a capacity utilization. And based on the future output, we keep on adding. So this may not be a peak revenue from the number what you mentioned. Just one clarification. Yeah, you can repeat the second question, please.
Okay. So by change of product mix, you can obviously increase the top line, right? But
yeah, there is
the
a
current
yeah,
number. Yeah. But the current number which you mentioned, 325, 350, and 125 for Chennai, typically So let's say the lower number 325 plus 125, which is about 450. So in what time frame do you feel you can reach that kind of top line?
Yeah, so again, these are the capacity numbers. An engineering company normally we consider 80-85% capacity utilization because there are a safe top product mix or whatever. And time frame, as of now, we are still need to prepare the next year budget based on the whatever outlook we see, which normally we prepare in Jan and Feb. But as we always mention, we are seeing, we are targeting 20-25% type of growth rate, and we should be then achieving in next year or next to next year.
Sure. And at peak capacity, sir, utilization, say around 80-85 utilization, do you feel the margins can be 20% or 20% plus, given that today the capacities are not being utilized fully, especially the Chennai plant?
If you're talking about EBITDA, then I will clarify. In past, when we in Vada also we reached to a peak capacity, the overall product mix of this thing, coil spring, fastener, and within that, the different product mix, we able to deliver 19-20%. Chennai is a new product which will take 1 to 2 year time to reach to that peak level capacity. And combined altogether, we are still want to maintain the margin, EBITDA margin of 17-19%.
Very well. So, in your commentary and also in the presentation, you talked about a new nut and bolt product, which is an addressable market of $1 billion, and you have secured some pilot orders for the same. If you could share some more details in terms of, say, where this product is being used, in what segments it is going to go, what kind of customers we are talking about. Maybe you will not name the customer, that's fine, but what kind of customers are discussing this product with? Is it based on some customer orders we have developed this product, or and who are the other competitors in this product?
Good question. Satish, you can answer this.
So basically, as you know, Gala is operating business in mainly three verticals from the industry segment point of view: renewable, which includes hydro and wind energy; industrial, which is electrical, off-highway equipment, construction equipment; and third is mobility, which is mainly automotive and railway. So the fasteners, when we started mainly with wind industry, and we were supplying only studs, which is our existing product till last year, for more than 7-8 years, and 80-90% of these studs were sold to wind turbine OEM manufacturers in India and subsequently in the global market. Based on the understanding of this wind turbine OEM, we understand apart from studs, they also use bolts and nuts. So same set of customers having potentials of bolts and nuts, that is how we started this project. But Gala has very strong relationship in industrial sectors like off-highway equipment, tractor equipment. And in this category of customers, there is very requirement of our studs, where we started the fastener business, but they have a lot of requirement of bolts and nuts. So for the industry segment point of view, we started Chennai plant considering wind industry as a starting point, but now we are adding more customers in industrial sectors and also in mobility sector for new products, bolts and nuts. So the addressable market, what we are talking is $1 billion plus, is basically for mainly the market is industrial and renewable sector at the global level.
And sir, with regards to the segment-wise, currently the revenue is mix is industrial is roughly 33%, renewable is 38%, and mobility is 29%. So going ahead in next, as we complete our CAPEX and ramp up the facility, the what will be the kind of proportion from each of these segments? And is there any margin differential from this segment?
Yeah, proportion-wise, I think industrial, since we are adding customers for fasteners, so industrial will grow. So industrial will be about 35% to 38%. Renewable will be around 35%, and mobility will be about 28-30%. This is a broad segmentation we are looking in short term for next 1 to 2 years. As far as the margins are concerned, they are very similar across all the segments, so we don't see major change. Of course, some customers you have better margins depending on the volume and criticalness, and some customer because of high volume the margins may be lower. But at very broad level the margins are similar for all the three product segments and in the three different industry segments.
Sure. And within this, similar question with regards to the product, DSS contributes about 49%, CSS is 19%, and SFS is 32%. So, going ahead, how does this proportion change?
I think DSS will be around 45% in 2 to 3 years perspective. SFS will be about 40%, and mobility will be around 15%. As again, short term to mid term perspective.
And with regards to geography, we are at 35% export today.
Yeah, so export will remain to be 35 to 40%, because whatever new products we do, we start with India first. And couple of years we stabilize in India and then we take them to the global market. So, for example, in current H1 or quarter 2, our export is about 35%, but broadly export will remain to be about 35 to 40%, mainly to Europe and US market, and India will be around 60 to 65% of the market for us.
One last question, sir. I asked about the competition. So typically, the kind of SKUs which we work with, who typically do we regard as our competition, say domestic as well as global?
You are asking specifically for partners or in general for all the products?
In general, maybe. I don't know if any other company has all the products under one company. How does it work? I'm not sure about that, sir. I'm looking at the company for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. So basically,
pardon me for my ignorance.
Who has all the products under one umbrella? So specifically with Gala. So in partners, we mainly compete with Sundaram Partners and Landex, which is a German company having plant in Pune. And for exports in partners, we compete with German manufacturers like August Friedberg, Doka Partners in Norway, or Cooper and Turner based in UK. As far as the disc springs are concerned, we mainly compete with German producer Mobia, Schnorr and Kitchenbauer, and some American producers like T. Bellevelle in US market. As far as the coil springs are concerned, we compete with NACA Spring, which is a Japanese company having plants in India. We also compete with Kamsule and some import substitutes we have done where customers were importing from Germany and we have localized these products. So there are different types of customers, competitors in all the three product categories.
Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for the help. Thanks for the insight.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. If you want to understand what percentage of your business you directly supply to the OEs, and what percentage of your business is actually where you are a tier 2 or a tier 3 supplier. And the second question is that in terms of which number you actually care for, do you care for, in terms of priority revenues, EBITDA margins, or cash flows? Because if you look at it, even last year, when, on a full year basis, the PBT of around 33 crores, but the operating cash flows, pre-tax has been around 10 crores, right? So how do you intend to manage it? Because you will also have, take care of growth also, then your cash flows are always constrained because of high inventory, which you actually talked about, right? I think these are my questions.
Okay, so I will answer for the customer breakup. So actual OEMs, which is basically wind turbine manufacturer or construction equipment manufacturer, these contribute about 50 to 55% of our sales. Tier 1, which is like in automotive or in other industry segment, like we supply to Schaeffler, Valeo, ZF, who are Tier 1 companies. Also in railways, we supply to Tier 1 companies who supply to actually Indian Railways. And that is about 25 to 30% of our business. And our products like wave lock washer, disc springs, we also supply to partner distributors, or we call them partner wholesalers, which are based in India, Europe, and US. They contribute about 10 to 15% of the sales. So this is a broad breakup at the OEM Tier 1 and distributor level for the sales of Gala. And cash flows.
Yeah, I will. Lakshmi Narayanji, hi, I'm Jalan here. I will answer this. I think you are right in asking this question, which one you will focus. So honestly speaking, these are the different lever, and you love to focus on each and every lever and optimize this lever or maximize this lever. So start with, as of now, our major focus is giving higher priority to revenue and the profitability from each and every customer level, and give a balance between the revenue and profitability depend upon the future outlook. Sometime, as Satish also mentioned, really high volumes are there, we may take little bit lower profitability on a vice versa, and that depend upon geography or industry or segment. As far as the cash flow is concerned, 100% is very, very important. We know, understand, and we regularly monitor that. But in growth phase, we have to take little bit second priority to the cash flow generation from the, particularly when we are targeting a growth of about 20% or 25%, because we keep on, these are the industry norm where we have to build some, we have to give data 90 days or 85 to 90 days, or we have to keep multiple SKU material or FG. But nevertheless, in near future, once we see, then we are managing revenue and profitability at a good maximized level, surely we will, we can improve on the cash flow lever as well.
Got it. Sir, and we have been expanding in two locations, Chennai and also Maharashtra. Now, you know, this will take you to what level of, I mean, how many years where you don't need further expansion, that is, the growth can be satisfied with, whether whatever capacity you're putting, how long it would actually would pull you through?
Yeah, so Lakshmi Narayanji, basically we are doing this incremental capex to do a incremental capacity expansion. Where, like for example, in Vada, we already have a land building base, and there we are doing incremental capex for to debottleneck the capacity. And with this incremental capex, we will be reaching around 325 to 350 capacity. And in Vada, then we don't have additional now land and building, and for phase next phase, we may have to now add land and then building, which may happen in near future. As far as the Chennai is concerned, this is, we can say, greenfield or brownfield project, where we started with the land almost 2 years back, and then constructed building, and then last 6 months, 9 months, we created the, we added the machine, and then we created this capacity. And as I mentioned, in Chennai, we will be reaching the peak capacity in next year to next year. So we will be building the capacity, balance capacity phase two in next quarter or next to next quarter. And we will be utilizing this capacity in FY27 and partially maybe FY28. So going forward, beyond 27, we are already started looking for the land, and we have to do some incremental capex based on the future outlook.
So typically, what is your maintenance capex and what is the growth capex? In general, what is the thumb rule you have?
Yeah, broadly, we see these assets' life is more than 10 years, in fact. Some assets have 15 years as well, and there are presses which are running more than 15 years. But on average, safer that you can consider an average 10 years. So we, my historical number is less than 5% we are using, utilizing for maintenance capex or two. So 5 to 10% something which we can say. As far as the growth capex is concerned, that depends upon the next year or next to next year outlook. Based on that, we plan and incur the capex. Normal or capex to turnover ratio is initially, it start with 2 or 2.5 times, and at maturity peak level, with the stabilizing the all the capacity or deploying the automation, it reached to 3 time or more than 3 time also. But 3 time you can expect in the at the peak.
Correct. And one last question. In terms of the visibility of growth, how much is something, I mean, in the next, maybe this year we are FY26 and FY27, what kind of growth visibility you have? Of course, there's an aspiration, but what is that something which is clearly visible for you that it will not grow below a particular percentage?
Yeah. So with the disclaimer which Mr. Anuj initially already gave, we cannot give a forward-looking statement subject to that disclaimer. We always maintain we will be targeting 15 to 20%, and considering the present current year, we are seeing we should be touching 22 to 25%. Next year, I already mentioned, we are still working on the budget, but the number can be 15 to 20 or 20 to 25. We will get more clarity by Feb 26.
Right. Yeah, and just from steel price point of view, because that is a variable cost, what is the kind of pricing thing you have with your whomever you are supplying to? How do you handle this pricing fluctuation? And second is that from an employee cost, if you look at it progressively, that's actually coming down as a percentage as you actually scaled up. So what is the employee cost as a percentage one should actually budget for?
Yeah, so first about the steel prices, in majority of customer, we have a cost-based pricing. And there we normally declare the raw material price which you factor in while quoting them. And the broad understanding from customer to customer, if there is a fluctuation of steel price more than 5%, or some case 10%, then we both the sides discuss and then revise the upward or downward prices with some lag effect of 3 to 6 months, because I think it's a month-on-month we cannot do, but quarter-on-quarter, and if it's increasing or decreasing, then we need to discuss. And in some cases, we get a price from retrocess effect as well if there is a delay in negotiation. So more or less, I can say that steel prices we are able to pass in history, past also, and that's not a big risk which we see. As far as the employee cost is concerned, this is the number which should further improve by some half percentage to 1%. But I don't want to give any, as of now, firm indication, because in growth phase, we have to then keep some capabilities, keep on adding some capabilities at different levels. So it's slightly premature to give you some positive outlook for the employee cost.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much for answering all my questions in detail.
Thank you, Lakshmi Narayanji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishita Shanklesha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. So I just had a clarification. You mentioned that from Vada we can do 325 to 350 crores. Vada has a 325 to 350 crores of capacity, and Chennai has 120 to 130 crores of capacity. And the peak utilization we generally target is 80 to 85%. So do we see this peak utilization happening in the next 2 years?
Yeah, so that's you have clear understanding about the capacity and revenue. And as of now, we see next year or next to next year beginning, we should be having reaching to this peak utilization.
Okay. And also, so you mentioned that 35% is the export that we have currently. From that, how much do we export to US? And previously, you mentioned that you were able to pass on the duties to the customers, the additional tariffs. So what is the situation now, if you can give an update?
Yeah,
US contributes about 10 to 12% of our total revenue. And with all our customers, we don't have any conditions or incoterms which includes the tariff or duties. So all our incoterms agreement with our US customer is based on without any import tax or without any tariff. So whatever additional or reduction in tariff, it is being managed by customer, and they are only paying these tariffs for our products in US market.
Okay, 10 to 12% is the ratio of total revenue or total export?
Total revenue. So about our export is about 35%, and in that, within that export category, US contribute about 25%. But at company level, US is about 10 to 12% of the total revenue. About 18 to 19% is Europe, 3% is other parts of the world, and 65% is India.
Okay,
thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings phone call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our IR managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Gala Precision Engineering Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.